All right, we're going to get started again, and I would remind commission members to, when you speak, please use your mic. We can project into the room, but apparently the people online are having a real hard time hearing our comments, so that is a reminder. And then with that, I think first I'm going to have Tom Kirschman make an introduction here quickly, and then we'll finish up our information items.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that opportunity. We have one more new staff member that's here today present at the commission meeting. I'm going to ask Liz Renner to please stand up. Liz is one of our fisheries biologists out at the Fort Pierre office. She is working on the Upper Missouri River and surrounding lakes and waters. She comes to us from Kansas, had her undergrad done at actually Augustana down in Sioux Falls, and went to Kansas State for her graduate work, and we are extremely pleased to have her on our fisheries and aquatics team. Again, working out at the Fort Pierre office, so if you don't mind, please welcome Liz to the GFCC team as well.
All right, welcome.
All right, with that, let's finish up the information items quickly. We have the Hunt Safe Program update by Brandon.
Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, thanks for having me. Just to give a quick update, I'm Brandon, so I've seen my face. I started about 9 months ago, so over the past 9 months, I've been busy with getting the Hunt Safe program back up and rolling after all the COVID stuff. So we are back to in-person classes. That's probably like the biggest news going into 2022 is in-person classes are back. Online classes are still available. Adults can, anyway, they cost about $25 for anybody. And then if the student is under the age of 16, they now have to have a field day. And so that's an in-person field day. And it's been brought up across the state that some folks might have a problem paying that $25. So just to ease some people's concerns, I have made an agreement with our online company that runs the online class that are paid for 400 codes that if for whatever reason there's special circumstances that somebody needs to help paying for that class, we can help them with that. And yeah, so that's just to ease some tension there with that cost of that online course. Then my first goal as a going through the 9 months here and into this spring is really just to kickstart that communication with the Hunt Safe instructors again. I know it's been 2 or 3 years since I've really had good communication. So I'm starting that off with not only a newsletter that went out 2 weeks ago, but also a Hunt Safe instructor conference that's happening at the end of April. So that's April 22nd, 23rd over in Fort Pierce. And so I'm really hoping that is a kind of a kickstart to just that communication and just kind of seeing where everybody's at, where the needs are across the state, and just making my face known to all of the instructors across the state. And then from there, we'll move forward with recruiting more instructors and seeing where the needs are across the state. Hunt Safe in the schools is still going. We're still recruiting more instructors to get involved in the schools. One big thing that I'm really curious about is seeing where we are with the folks that we recruited pre-COVID. I know we've got about 40 schools or so that I've got on a list, but I'm not entirely sure where we're at with those schools still participating. So my goal is after the instructor conference is to see that survey and reach out to those schools and see if they're still actively teaching Hunt Safe in schools, or if they need anything from me, just kind of see where we're at before we can move forward with recruiting more folks. And then something I'd like to bring up you guys, something I've learned through communications with other Hunter Ed coordinators across the country, is that Mossberg has quit making the orange inert safety guns. I don't know if you're familiar with those at all. but they're super handy. They were inert guns that had forcing action. You could put some ammo in, you could try to load and unload, whatnot. Very handy, but they are no longer making those anymore. And I had a couple ideas of how to find more inert guns, one of which was taking confiscated guns from our law enforcement and then taking them to local gunsmiths, having them made inert, like firing pins out, stuff like that. But yeah, it sounds feasible in a sense, but the number of guns just really isn't there to make that happen. And then if there's other issues, cases that those guns are confiscated in, it makes it kind of complicated. So I guess if you have any suggestions on where to find guns, if you hear anything, feel free to let me know. There's always other training guns that you could use, but finding guns that have working action is really helpful to teach students how to load and unload. So, yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to ask me now or get a hold of my number and give me a call anytime.
Any questions for Brandon? Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, those listening, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. I just wanted to add to what Brandon was talking about here in the importance of the Hunt Safe program. I want to just send out a special thank you to all the volunteer Hunt Safe instructors that we do have across the state. I know Brandon mentioned them and putting together that conference. That program is very successful because of those volunteers. And a lot of programs and projects that we do as an organization and an agency are due to our partners out there, and this is certainly one of those key sector of partners that we have across the state. I can tell you firsthand, my oldest son has taken the Hunt Safe class this week, and his excitement from the program the first night was almost scary because he was really scared, nervous going into it, but the volunteer Hunt Safe instructors there made it very comfortable and very enjoyable and very high-quality learning experience. It was amazing how excited he was after that first night to be learning different things that those instructors were teaching him. So just wanted to insert that, if you didn't mind, as just a special thank you again to all of our Hunt Safe volunteers across the state and how much we value them in this overall partnership.
How many schools were you involved with pre-COVID across the state?
Personally, I wasn't because I started 9 months ago. But there was, I believe, there's a big push right before COVID with about 30-ish schools. So I want to say somewhere around there. And so I'm really curious to see where they're at or if COVID kind of put a stop to that momentum in their schools. Or that's my goal now, is to see where they're at.
All right. Any Commissioner
Locken? Yes, Commissioner Locken here. Do you ever touch base with any of the trap shooting teams, maybe give them a safety course or anything? Do you have any interaction with them?
So I've been contacted by quite a few of the trap shooting teams. I know coming up in a few weeks here, there's a big event happening at the ICE here in town, and they've asked me to come make a presence there and help with their training events, and then I'll also be at the Aberdeen High School trap shooting state shoot up there, and just making a presence there and being available for students to ask questions too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Thank you.